Well, we continue to mark the time between now and Christmas, and I invite the Walker family to come and light our Advent candles for us. Lord of life, you who are the light of the world, you who are the light of our lives, we pray that as the nights grow longer and the days grow shorter, we may see in all things that the darkness does not overcome the light, that your light will see us through all things. And so with people who string lights and those who light candles across this creation, we light our lights in defiance of the darkness and in praise of your coming among us. In Jesus, we pray these things. The Gospel of Matthew begins with this words that says, Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. That's on the opening pages of Matthew. And then you get to the closing pages of Matthew, and Jesus, the risen Christ, says, I am with you forever. It's kind of these great bookends. The gospel begins and the gospel ends with this promise that God is with us. And so our prayers, when we pray, we're simply opening ourselves to the God who is with us and for us and loves us. As we pray today, there'll be a time for you to name a concern, perhaps a sorrow or something that's difficult, or it's okay to name joys too. A prayer answered or a thanksgiving. And there'll be a time when you can name those aloud if you'd like. So let us go to God in prayer. Oh God, you who were before we were, you who will be when we're beyond this earth, you who were and will be and you who are right now, you whose life is woven through our life, you whose presence is as close to us as our breath and our thoughts, we praise you. Oh Lord, how we pray for those who have not awakened to your love and mercy. We pray for those who hurt by themselves and don't know how you can help with their pain. We pray for those who have lost hope. Oh Lord, may they awaken to your promise to be with them. Lord, we pray for those who are caught in hatred and unforgiveness and addictions and struggles. May life become new and good. We pray for families that are separated or at crossways with one another, for marriages that are fragile. We pray for parents and children who find it difficult to communicate with each other. We pray for all of these, Lord. Open hearts, give patience, give energy to those who are weak. Oh Lord, for those who are sick, give your healing presence. For those who are whose lives are ground down in poverty, send open the hearts of those who have more than they need that they may share. To those who are in the presence of death, give the hope of light and life beyond this life. To those who are in frightening places, far from home and suffering, give your comfort. And Lord, hear the prayers of your people just now. O Lord, who hears the prayers of our lips and the prayers of our hearts, hear our prayers now. As we pray, as Jesus taught us to say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. The second Sunday of Advent is one in which the church traditionally hears the story of John the Baptist, the herald, the forerunner, the announcer of Jesus. And so hear this reading from the third chapter of Matthew, beginning with verse 1. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke, when he said, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Now John wore clothing of camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then the people of Jerusalem and all Judea were going out to him in all the region around the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not presume to say you to yourselves, We have Abraham as our ancestors. For I tell you, God's able to raise these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every fruit, therefore, that does not bear good, every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance. But the one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand. He will clear his threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Oh Lord, in moments of quietness and rest, may we hear loudly your urgent message of your coming among us, and may it change us. In Jesus' name, amen. I like the story about the woman who went to a bazaar at her church, craft sale, and she bought this big piece of needlework, a sampler, a plaque is all framed, and it said, Prayer changes things. And so she brought it, so she took it home, and she got a hammer, and she got a little picture hanger, and she drove it into the wall there in the den, and hung it up, and, you know, stood back and looked at it. She kind of decided this is going to be her new motto, Prayer changes things. Her husband heard all the banging, he comes into the den. She says, How do you like my new motto, my new plaque? And he says, I don't like it one bit. She says, you don't like it? So what's not to like about prayer? He said, Oh, I'm fine with prayer. I don't like things to change. You know? And I think maybe that's why this story of John the Baptist always kind of raises my blood pressure a little bit. Read it every year, maybe partially because John is so weird. I mean, John is strange. I mean, you know, he's this wild, woolly man living down out in the wilderness. He eats bugs, locusts, dipped in wild honey. He wears this old rough camel hair. We're not talking about a nice camel hair coat. We're talking about rough, woven, kind of nasty. The desert, I mean, this wilderness is rocky desert. So, you know, wearing this this cloth made out of camel's hair. Of course, he is in the water, so somebody said he probably smells awful. I said, well, he's in the water all the time. But anyway, he's strange. And he's got this fiery message. And his message is change is coming. He says things like, prepare the way of the Lord. God is laying an axe to the root of every tree that doesn't bear good fruit. He says, there's somebody coming who is greater than I, not even fit to carry his sandals. He says, change is coming. The kingdom of heaven, he says, is getting close. It's at hand. And because God is changing things, you'd better change. You know the word in Greek for repent, it's translated as repent. It literally means change your mind. Metanoia, it means get beyond your mind. It means get a new mind, a different mind. Get beyond yourself. It's talking about seeing things differently. Sizing up the world in a different way. And John says, God is here. God is close. And if God is close, well, that changes everything. So he says, you need to change your mind. And you need to see things in a new way. And you need to live in a new way. Have you ever had a picture, maybe a painting or a drawing or something, and you get that thing reframed? You know, you've had it around, and all of a sudden you get a new frame and a new mat, and you put that thing up, and you say, wow, I never knew it looked that good. And you know, the way you framed it makes other stuff stand out in it. The reframed picture shows you some things you'd missed. What John the Baptist says our lives are being reframed. God is reframing things. What's going on is God is coming among us. And he's going to continue and take to a new stage that renovation, that renewal, that remaking of the world. Heaven come down to earth. He's changing it. And it just makes everything different. It makes everything different what he's up to. You know, sometimes we see differently, don't we? I think the story was told by Farrell Sams. You may have read his books. He was a Georgia physician, wrote novels about growing up in a little town in Georgia. And he tells about the men sitting in the barber shop on the square in his little town. And the men sit in the barber shop, and as different women of the town walk by on the sidewalk outside the window, doors are closed, and the men offer commentary. And sometimes it's not very kind, not very refined. And at one point, one day, the men are sitting around kind of gawking and making their commentary, and this attractive young woman walks by, and they say a few things. And one of the men says, hey, guys, watch it. That's my daughter. And everybody gets quiet. And the barber, who has not been joining in the sort of commentary on the women folk, he says, you know, every woman is somebody's daughter. You know, sometimes you just see things different, right? The world gets reframed. Changes your perspective when you look at things like that, doesn't it? Change your mind about what's appropriate. That's what the coming of heaven to earth does, and that's what Jesus is. Jesus brings heaven to earth. And what does Jesus do when he gets? He treats everyone like they are a son or daughter of God. Everybody he meets, he treats like royalty. He treats him like they're a child of the heavenly king. All because he knows a bigger picture. So how could our mind be changed? How could we repent? How would it be if tomorrow everybody we meet, that clerk at the store that ignores us when we only got a little while to shop, or that high-maintenance client we have to deal with, or that student who doesn't do what they're supposed to do, or that teacher who gives us a hard time, that jerk that disagrees with me, challenges me, frustrates me, even my enemy. How would life be different if I understood that they are a daughter of God, a son of God, a child of God? It just sort of reframes everything. If you begin to see things from the perspective of the kingdom of heaven, well, it just changes everything. Alan Wallace, a teacher of the spiritual life, says, imagine you're walking down the street, down the sidewalk, and you got a bunch of groceries in your arms, a bunch of packages, and somebody roughly comes up behind and bumps you so hard it sends you sprawling, knocks you down. You're laying there on the sidewalk, your eggs are broken, your stuff is all spilled out, and you're about ready to say, "You jerk, are you blind? Did you not see?" And you look over, and the other person that hit you has fallen, and you see a long white cane. And they are blind. And in an instant, everything changes. Your anger goes to sympathetic concern. And you say, are you all right? Here, let me help you up. Just in an instant, how we see things can change us. We repent when we see the bigger picture. You know, when heaven came to earth, when Jesus came among us, I think, from all I read, when he looked at people, when he sought out people, everyone he found was imperfect. I mean, there was some wound they had. There was some grief they carried. There was some sin that had warped them. There was something out of kilter with them. Jesus comes seeking the outcast, the grieving, the sinner, not the perfect. So how would my life be different if I had a bigger picture of all I meet? How would it be if I understood that everybody I meet has, like me, got a blind spot? Everyone I meet, like me, has been warped by sin. Everyone I meet is carrying some burden that maybe nobody knows. How would I be different if I knew that everybody I met, their back is up against some wall? It would kind of change things. It would make me repent, change my mind. Change dramatically how I treat others. Do you hear the story about the monks who lived in a little monastery out in the country? They sort of were self-sufficient. They had a garden and they had a kitchen, but sometimes people would bring stuff to them, food to them. And one night at supper, the bread is just especially good. I mean, the bread is big, beautiful golden brown loaves of fragrant bread, and it just tastes better than the bread's ever tasted. And so the young monk, one of the novices, he said, "Man, this bread is good tonight." And he said, "Did we make this bread, or did somebody give it to us as a gift?" And the old monk, the oldest and the wisest, he simply says, "Yes. Yes." He was saying, "Yeah, we made it. And yeah, it was a gift." How would our life be different if our minds were changed and we repented and we began to see everything before us as an instance of the activity of God. You know, when Jesus looked around the world, everybody else just saw, you know, dough rising with the yeast and grapes growing and birds flying and seeds sprouting, grapes growing on the vine. But Jesus looked at that stuff. Oh, and he saw something else. And anybody else just might look at a dad taking care of a child or a mama hen shooing her little chicks. But Jesus saw that. And he saw in every case an instance of the kingdom of heaven. He saw the activity, the mercy, the influence, the motions of God at work in all of that. God giving breath and life and mercy. So how would our life be different if we repented, if we changed our mind, and if everything that came our way, everything that we produced with our hands, every dollar that came our way, every bite of food that came our way, how would it be if we saw it as a gift of God? Every sunrise and every sunset, a new gift of God. Every word of encouragement and kindness that comes from some our way, every time the clerk says, "Have a blessed day," you know, how if we began to see God coming at us in every moment? Well, it would kind of be like saying the kingdom of heaven is near. It's among you. It's in your midst. Strange, weird John is down at the Jordan River. And he's saying, change your mind. Repent. Think differently. See differently. Because the kingdom of heaven, it is at hand. What he's telling us is the kingdom of God is right here, right now. Eternity has already begun. It's already begun if we'll awaken to it. And our faith is that with the coming of Jesus, Emmanuel, God is present among us. Abundant life is ours now if we will see it and claim it and align our lives to it and surrender to what God wants to do. With the coming of Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, we know already we are sons and daughters of God, loved and known by God even before we were born. And with the coming of Jesus, we know we do not need to fear. The light shines in the darkness. That's why we light candles. That's why we string lights on our house and put them on trees and put them on everything that doesn't move sometimes. It's the light that shines in the darkness. And the darkness will never overcome the light. And because that is so, then we can repent. We can change our minds. We can change our hearts. We can let our lives be changed. Conform to Emmanuel. God with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us pray. Lord of life, you present with us in all times and all places, you feeding us, you encouraging us, you changing our fear into confidence, our sorrows into joys, you who give us hope when we're hopeless. We give thanks that we may change our minds, that we may know you've not given us up, not turned the world over to futility and evil and violence, but that in your way and in your time, you're bringing new life. And so change us. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord of life, you who has the power to change the world, to change us, we want to claim all of you there is to claim. So send your Spirit on this bread and on this cup that we bless in your name. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ. By your Spirit, change us so that we might be for the world the body of Christ. People who love and serve, people who see your glory, the people who share what we've seen. All of this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite the band and those who are to join in the serving, if you would come first. People of God, sons and daughters of our heavenly Creator, go in peace. And may the light of Him whose star is rising upon us give us hope. And let us know we never need fear, for God is with us. Emmanuel, the one who loves us as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. Go in peace.